Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
You don't date them, you just bed them and then send them back to their double-eyed.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
Made me laugh. That was funny. Shit, I'm hilarious.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie has been rated PG-13 by the Motion Picture Association of America.
Welcome to another thrilling, captivating, spectacular edition of Huntsville Home Video. My name is Jack Spade, proud card-carrying member of the Merry Marching Marvel Society. Yes, that is a real thing, Leanne.
I'm sorry, Merry and Marching with Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was from way back in the day.
That's a huge juxtaposition. Mary marching is a lot.
There's a lot of jubilance going on there.
Okay.
Leanne Foster working on her card for the Mary Marching Marvel Society.
Punching out holes as we speak.
We are clicking off movies on phase three. If you joined us last week, you heard both of our raving review for Civil War and then Leanne taking a giant shit all over Doctor Strange.
For no reason.
Apparently, some people were on your side for that one.
Really?
You had a couple people that agreed with your sentiments.
Yes. It feels so good to be right.
Yeah.
You don't understand. I walked away from that feeling so shitty because of your face that whole entire. They didn't see your face. I think they felt it in your voice, but they didn't see your face. I did.
Not the first time someone has been disappointed with my face.
Aw, Jack.
Yeah,
no.
That's okay.
Anyway.
I sound good, though. It's all that matters.
It's all that matters in this job.
That's right. So we are back. Today we will be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Two.
And then on Thursday, we are back to be talking about Spider-Man. Very exciting things going on. We have now, last week when we talked about Civil War, that was the first Marvel movie that you had ever seen.
Yeah.
You started at like movie number 14.
Sure.
That's the Leanne way. Now you have some context.
Now I know what that car was. That was the biggest thing for me, was knowing what that car was when it zoomed by. I was like, oh God. Yeah.
I get it now.
I get it.
And now we are moving along. When we reviewed the movies in phase two, one of your favorites was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are back for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Mm-hmm.
Very curious to see what you think about this one. So right at the top of the episode, Leanne, if you would not mind, what was your quick thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
I would not mind, Jack, and thank you for asking.
You're very welcome.
I have trouble with this one.
Oh, okay.
Not bad. Let me see if I can explain this. There are parts of it that I absolutely love and that I think are hilarious and great. But the movie as a whole, I didn't care about the premise.
Okay.
Maybe.
That's fair.
I like a lot of the parts better than I liked the entirety of the movie.
That makes sense.
I didn't really, there were some of the pacings off to me. Felt like we got long, drawn out parts we didn't need, maybe. Some of it was kind of hokey in not a good way.
Okay.
But there were parts of it that really made me laugh out loud and that I loved, and elements of it that I loved. There's parts of it that are just off for me.
Well, if you thought Doctor Strange was going to be rough, I'm here to tell you that I actually completely agree with you.
Okay. Oh, thank God.
It sucks. It sucks when your friends do that shit to you, doesn't it?
Oh my God.
You fucking trolling bitch.
Oh no. Point your team.
Thank you.
You got me. Because I was like, oh no, I can't do 2 weeks of this. And I was like, I know last week's my fault, but I can't do 2 weeks.
No, I kind of completely agree with you.
Okay, great. Okay, thank God.
I went.
Oh, goodness gracious. You don't know how happy I am that we're back on 100%. Like, we're back full throttle hell buddies, and it makes me so happy right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pedal to the metal, bitch.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I completely agree with you on that. I think the movie is good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes off in a few. Like, there's too many stories going on.
There's too many side stories we got going on.
Yeah, and we'll of course, chat about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, like you said, some still very good bits. There's some good world building, some good character building.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the eyes were just bigger than the stomach on this one.
Yep. Agreed.
But overall, first one, way better.
Yes.
But still an enjoyable movie.
There are parts of this one, when they hit me, they're so freaking funny and good that they... Like, the first movie's better, but some of it's like, it's such a great build from the first movie.
Yeah.
But then you just get let down in other parts.
Well, and to be fair, we should have had Guardians of the Galaxy 3 already.
Okay.
But James Gunn, the director, had a brief setback with that whole cancel culture bullshit.
Right.
That everyone loves so much. Someone dug up a tweet from 10 years ago.
From a decade previous. Because we don't do any growing in a decade at
all. No, never.
No, things don't change in a decade.
And then, of course, you know, Disney being, we can't offend anyone. Like, they fucking temporarily fired him, only to bring him back after DC picked him up.
You know why? Because money is more important.
You damn right. Money is more important than all of your feelings.
Right.
All of them. Mark my words, we are recording this on Saturday, May 8th, 2021. Mark these words that Gina Carano will eventually be back in the Disney house.
I read a headline, and of course you never know, but apparently she's already in talks of coming back.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
Not a bit.
Mm-mm.
Like, you're temporarily canceled until we realize, wait, this money machine needs to keep rolling. We're only making like $2 billion a day with our parks being temporarily closed. We need to get back to $6 billion. Let's get Gina Carano on the phone.
Did you see where they opened up in California? This is going to take a side quest. They opened up in California, and if you're a California resident, you can go in. But if you're not a California resident, you have to be vaccinated. But if you're a California resident, you don't have to be vaccinated, because that makes all the sense in the world.
Don't
check it?
That's the most California thing I've ever heard.
Is it not?
Yeah. Jesus.
Like, oh, okay. Californians don't carry the illness, the COVID, obviously.
What a weird fucking world we live in.
California.
And well
Eat
in.
A dick.
Well, you heard it, Callie. I know we have listeners. That was Leanne telling you to go.
I'm just talking about the state. You know, some of the people are great there.
Sure.
But the state... Eat a wiener.
While in sunny California, if you are vaccinated or a California resident and visit Disney World, you can Disneyland. I'm sorry.
That's right. They have land over there.
You can swing by the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Isn't that the Tower of Terror? It was the Tower of Terror.
Now it is currently Guardians of the Galaxy Breakout.
Okay.
Or something. I think it's called Breakout.
Hmm.
Or you can just listen to our eventual review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 right here.
You can listen to the first one. We've already done that one.
Yeah, that one's done and over with.
We do this podcast in order. I don't watch movies in order. We do the podcast in order, though, so don't worry.
God, we should just start reviewing movies out of sequence after this.
Can we please do that? Can we do something like Volume 3, you know? Like,
I'm gonna find a good trilogy that you haven't seen, and we're going to watch it in reverse order. We are absolutely going to do that shit.
I'm totally in.
Yes.
I want to go back and then discover the plot points going backwards.
Oh,
or the
shit.
The character arcs going backwards.
Yep.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's a good experiment. We need to do that.
I got to think of a good trilogy now to play along with that.
Please do not let it be the Blade trilogy. We can't do that.
I mean, you've already watched the first one. So we screwed that one up already, huh? All right.
Yeah, we'll work on that. That's a good idea. I like it.
So today, let's chat about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, a movie which we just discussed. We both had mixed reviews on.
Yeah.
Let's see if we agree where okay. all those feelings are mixed.
That's good. I will say, before we start anything else, the music in this movie is fucking impeccable.
So good.
And
as
how
it was
they
the first
use it,
time.
Yes. But the songs they use and how they use them in the way that they use them is top A. Yes. Number one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And some of them hit so hard.
So good.
Yeah.
Right in the chest.
Yep.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Oh, awesome. Okay. So it starts out with, first of all, a feather-haired Kurt Russell. Please.
My God.
Please give me all of that. God, I love it so much.
Do you prefer younger Kurt Russell or this Kurt Russell? Which one would do it for you more?
Oh, I like older Kurt Russell. I like older dudes.
Okay.
There's something. A man is never more good looking than when he's in his 40s.
I mean, that's
a true
story. It's a true
statement. George Clooney only got hotter.
Yep.
Brad Pitt only got hotter. To me, Leo DiCaprio only got hotter.
I'm certainly falling in that bandwagon. Like, I was a big fucking pile of garbage in my 20s. I look much more distinguished now.
You're more distinguished.
Yep.
Yeah. That happens to a man.
Yep.
Yep. Women trying to reverse, men just go with it. It's perfect.
Sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
Enjoy your 20s.
Yeah. It's all we have. So you're going to find out that he's Ego. And in the beginning of the movie, he is with Peter's mom, Meredith. And they're having a good time. They're living a good life in a fast car. And he shows off a space plant that he's planted, a space flower. And one day it's going to take over the whole universe, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I fell in love with the Spice Man. Which, you know, some dumb trailer park bitch has uttered at one point in time. And it was not a Spice Man.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
I've been able to pull some Jedi mind trickery on some dumb trailer park princesses in my day.
What do you mean we can't go out on Thursday? I'm going to space, baby.
You're right.
I got a first class ticket on a ship out of here, hon.
Y'all, I'm in love with the man on the radio.
That's been uttered many a time.
Yeah.
Many a time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so damn good. So he shows off this plant, and then we get 34 years later.
Quick side note, like when they do de-aging effects in movies, mm-hmm. they're very hit or miss. I thought de-aging of Kurt Russell was pretty solid.
Spot on.
And I also realized that he really does kind of look like his son, Wyatt.
I don't know enough about Wyatt to know.
Having just seen him in a recent Marvel mm-hmm. project that I won't go too into because you haven't seen it yet.
Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yep. But he... Like, you don't really realize it now. You don't realize it in the context. But when you see a de-aged Kurt Russell, you're like, oh, God damn, he does have some Wyatt traits.
I also love the name Wyatt.
Yeah?
Wyatt Russell's a good name. They did well in that department.
You know, I think that, well, he may have his dad's good looks. He certainly did not inherit his charisma.
Oh, okay.
I mean, still, you know, still a fine actor and everything, decent, but there's just something about Kurt Russell. That man, like, as a perfectly straight dude,
mm-hmm.
if Kurt Russell just walked in, cock and balls hanging out, he's like, well, it's not going to suck itself. I'm like, I mean, you did give us Big Trouble in Little China, Kurt.
You can volunteer. I mean, you can volunteer me first if you wanted to.
Okay. God, I wasn't even thinking.
Why do you think of me, you asshole?
You just come walking in. I got a big mouth of Kurt Russell cock. I'm like, oh, sorry, man. I didn't know you were here.
I understand, but could you let me have a turn? Come on.
Yeah, here. Let me wipe my chin off. Here, go to town.
Here, hold this milkshake. I got it.
We go to some weird places on this podcast.
We do. It's so odd, and fucking I never hell. Go those places until you're here.
We should see how Kurt Russell feels about this. Hey, Kurt, which one of us would you want to suck your dick first?
I've never once ever thought, as handsome as Kurt Russell is, I've never once thought about imagining sucking his wiener. And then all of a sudden, we sit down and turn microphones on, and what the hell just happened? What a mess this is.
We are.
What a mess we are in.
We're a fucked up bunch.
So anyways, I like our fucked up bunch, though.
I mean,
and anybody who's cool with it, I'm all for it. So anyways, we go to 34 years later after we show off the space plant and the Guardians are in the Sovereign.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? And they're fighting some big ass beast who's trying to get batteries, who's trying to get batteries. He's feeding on batteries or something. They're powerful. They're batteries.
You nailed it.
And I like, you know, of course, it's typical how they are. Peter's aggravated that Gamora is using guns now. He's like, that's kind of my thing. And Drax cannot wear one of the shields or whatever because of his nipples.
Got some sensitive nip-nips.
Sensitive nips. So just that whole thing is great. And Rocket, in the middle of this battle, is working on getting the tunes ready for the fighting. And he does the winking with his left eye. You know, it's just super cute. And we have Baby Groot.
What do you think of this?
Oh, I loved Baby Groot. Baby Groot was good.
A collective audience just went, oh! Like when I saw that in theaters, man, I mean, if I don't know what the fuck they were thinking when they made Baby Groot. Money, probably.
Money.
Merchandising.
It's exactly what they were thinking.
Because
with Baby
holy
Groot.
Shit, if we didn't love Groot enough from the first movie, now he's an adorable little baby.
With those big little eyes. Oh
yeah.
My God. I couldn't resist him.
Many a Baby Groot was flying. Baby Groot was pre-Baby Yoda.
Yes.
I mean, that was.
Baby Groot opened the door for
right?
Baby Yoda, for
yep.
sure.
That's what Disney saw the returns on that Baby Groot merch. And they're like, we need baby everything. Can we make a small Yoda? Can we get that? Make it happen. We'll make $1 billion.
Oh God, so brilliant. So we get Baby Groot, and so the battle starts, and Baby Groot figures out how to get the wires together, and Mr. Blue Sky plays.
Yeah.
Oh, this was so damn adorable. I put in my notes, so goddamn adorable. So the Guardians are fighting in the background, and Groot's just dancing along to Mr. Blue Sky, which was so freaking cute.
Great sequence.
So good. And, So that's been going on. Credits are coming in, and then the Guardians aren't doing so well against this monster. And maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Was Drax this dumb in the first movie and I just missed it? Like, I knew he was a big brute and didn't always think things through. I don't remember him being this damn dumb.
I think they maybe amped up his dumbness a little bit.
Right. They had to have. Because I just did not get that vibe the first time around.
I mean, I definitely got the vibe that he was not an intelligent fella.
No, that he was more on his maybe emotions than critical thinking skills. But
right.
Anyways, he...
But yeah, they definitely dumbed him up a little bit on this one.
They definitely did. And I love the whole thing where he's like, the skin's too thick. I'm going to have to cut from the inside. And he jumps in the monster. And they're like, that makes no sense. Skin's the same thickness. And I literally was like, yeah, that's what I thought when he was slow motion going into the mouth of the monster. I was like, I'm learning. I'm figuring this out. So they finally defeat this thing with Gamora slicing down through a cut on its neck, and the Guardians retrieve the Anulax batteries for the Sovereign, who are easily offended Goldfinger people.
well done.
Just hear our review of Goldfinger.
Go to HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Yeah. So they go, and I love the exchange between the Sovereign and Peter about they couldn't send their own people because they're too good, you know, and they have these birthing pods, and they have this exchange about how Peter would show her the archaic ways of creating offspring, which is super funny. So they trade the batteries that they got from the monster for Nebula because they're going to take her to Xandar because they want the bounty on her.
I'm going to get paid.
And then as they walk out, you find out that Rocket has stole some of the batteries.
Because, of course.
Because, of course. And
it's fucking Rocket.
And when he reveals that to Drax, Drax has this damn great laugh that I thought I was going to get tired of, and I did
nope.
not. It hit me every time, and it got funnier as it went on to me as well. They didn't overplay it, and I'm glad they didn't because I was afraid they were going to. But it got funnier as it went along. Just enough.
Right amount of gut laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I also, and I thought this on Guardians 1 as well, because Dave Bautista is not a phenomenal actor.
No.
But I think that James Gunn really, and I may have mentioned this on the review as well, like James Gunn really played into that. But like, this is what Dave Bautista's acting capability is perfect for.
Uh-huh.
And he just plays into it so well.
Yes, absolutely.
And
I
doing stuff like that gut laugh, because it's just, it's so over the top, but
yes.
not so over the top. You're like, oh, come on, dude, reel it in.
Right.
It's,
no.
Like, it's perfect for that character, for that delivery. Just love it.
Super good. So they fly out of there listening to Mixtape Volume 2. And Chris Pratt's also shirtless for a minute. greatly enjoyed that part of the film. And there's an obvious something there between him and Gamora. So, but then Drax gets into this thing where he says, Peter, she's not for you. There are people who dance and there are people who don't dance. And he's talking about when he met his wife and there was music playing and she never even tapped her foot. One would think she was dead. So you need to find a woman who's pathetic enough like you.
Fucking so good.
And as this is going, the alarm has sounded. They're after them for the stolen batteries that Rocket took. And Rocket's like, they were easy to steal, so why not? So the Sovereign Army is actually remotely piloted, which was really cool. I thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah.
And they have to get to the nearest planet, which is Bert. And they have to go through an asteroid field. Always love it when they have to go through an asteroid field.
Chances are, if you're in space and you're filming a getaway, you're going through an asteroid field.
Star Wars did it.
Yeah.
Galaxy.
You know what else Star Wars did? Astral projection. They did a lot of that.
Did you do that? Did you do that research?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I never thought of it as astral projection, but I really can't argue against you, so.
And now you hate Star Wars.
No, so absolutely
carry
not.
Carry on.
I'm going to give that a big no. Again, where my logic goes, it goes. So Peter and Rocket fight over who's the best pilot, and they keep swapping control, and they keep going back and forth. And then they get down to one of the Sovereign craft with no, and they have no weapons. So Drak goes out and he like gets on a line and he starts shooting with a gun, which was cool. And I love how they shit on the pilot, the remote control pilot, when he's the last one left and everybody's watching and he like losing. They're like, oh, fuck you. You're terrible. You know,
everyone's just crowded around him and then he just disappoints the whole lot.
So they get through the asteroid field, and really what had happened was the fleet went around it, and so they meet up with them at the end of the, when they get out of the asteroid field. But thankfully, there's a small waving man on a ship who destroys the entire Sovereign fleet.
Rex, there's a little tiny man out there.
So they get to Behurp, and they have a very bad landing. And when they land, Drax laughing again kills me. Gets funnier. So Rocket describes him as a little man waving on a ship because he doesn't understand distance and stuff. So anyways, the man shows up and it's Ego. It's Kurt Russell. And he says, I'm your dad, Peter, as if the rustic good looks didn't give it away. So you find out that he is Peter's dad. And then we go to the planet of Contraxia.
Yep.
Sure.
You're just nailing these today.
Right. And you get Howard the Duck, who had got let out in the first movie, in the other movie. And Blue Merle is there. Yondu's there with his goons. And then here comes Space Rambo to prove the point that, you know, the Ravagers don't have anything to do with Merle anymore, you know? Or sorry, not Merle. Yondu. Because he betrayed the code. Because Ravagers don't deal in kids.
I was very okay with Sylvester Stallone being in this movie.
It was kind of ridiculous, but I didn't hate it either.
Like, what would there to hate be? To
no,
hate
there wasn't anything.
That?
I was like, oh, really? Like, this was odd, but it just it was not an overly emotional scene? Was it not just a little bit too much? Maybe
nope.
Okay, all right.
It was just the right amount of everything. I'm like, oh, fucking Sylvester Stallone is in this. This is gonna be awesome. We got Sly in the MCU now. Fucking great.
So he says he betrayed the code. Ravagers don't deal in kids, and you will never hear the horns of freedom when you die, Yondu. You won't do it. You won't. So, this is when Yondu's people, after they see this exchange, start to think that, Yondu's getting a little soft. This is where you start hearing that kind of going around. And then an opportunity comes. The Sovereign Gold people show up. And they basically, you'll find out, they want Yondu to find the Guardians to get their batteries back that they stole. So at Behurp, Ego explains that he wanted Yondu to bring Peter to him after his mother died, but Yondu decided to keep him. And we hear the story of that is because he was a little kid, and so he was able to crawl around and steal stuff.
Good
that
for thieving.
Good for Thieven. And Drax also here, because I just love how they all interact with each other. Drax was like, I thought Yondu was your father. And Rocket's like, he's blue. It's just so good. Like, we look nothing alike, you know?
Yeah, they usually do.
So Ego is just like every, he's just super happy. Everything's good. Everything's cool. Like, I found you. I want to take you to my planet. I want to be the father that I never was. And it seems very sus, as I put here in my notes. It seems sus. So, and also Ego's got a, like a little companion, a little pet or slave, I'm sure.
named, pet slave, pick one.
Yeah. Named Mantis. And I like when she's like, can I pet your puppy? She's talking about Rocket. It was super cute. And Drax was like, I played a practical joke on you when Rocket goes to bite her. So that was super cute. And Gamora convinces Peter that, hey, this could be your Hasselhoff, because he used to think of David Hasselhoff as his father. And so Peter, Gamora, and Drax go with Ego as the chain plays. And I love the parts of this movie that felt like a music video. It was so good.
There was a lot of that. Yeah.
So they go to leave. Rocket stays with Groot, Nebula, and the ship. And while they are on, while Peter and them are on their way to Ego's planet, Mantis reveals that she can feel people's feelings with her antenna. Like, if she touches you, she can feel what you're feeling and all
She's
that
an
stuff.
Empath.
She's an empath. And she feels Peter and says, you have sexual love for Gamora. So, and Drax, another one of Drax laughs.
She just revealed a deep emotional secret. Yes. You must be so embarrassed.
And then Mantis feels of him to feel what he's feeling. So then they both just start laughing
just
at Peter.
She laughing her ass off.
It's so good. And she goes to do the same with Gamora, but Gamora's like, all you'll feel is a broken jaw. Don't do that to me. And you also find that Mantis can alter moods, and she helps her master sleep. Keep that one down, kiddos. This will come back into play. So at the ship with Rocket, also, I don't know if you know this, but I fucking love Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell's a fucking jam.
Do ya?
Okay.
All right.
I was raised on like old country music. I fucking love Glenn Campbell. And Southern Nights by Glenn Campbell plays while they are hitting the booby traps around the ship. Dude, I love it. I was like, God damn, I love that so much. He's a jam.
Had
so that's
no
my
idea.
Notes.
Had no idea.
Get on some Glenn Campbell, everybody.
I mean, like, musically, you are a fascinating individual.
I'm everywhere.
You are.
I'm really everywhere.
Like, when I first met you, it's like, hey, here's the chick that works on a hot AC radio station who just dives into Slipknot on the regular.
I have to leave early. I have these tickets to go see Machine Head. Excuse me.
Here's the latest from Ed Sheeran on Star 99.1. Have a good day. I dig my fingers into my eyes.
Like, that's the transition. You go from like talking about Ed Sheeran to just jamming out to some fucking Corey Taylor.
Our rock station, people from our rock station stop by and are like, what the hell are you listening to? I was like, what you should be playing.
Yeah, right?
So anyway, so Blue Yondu and his people are trying to take the ship.
You're halfway to getting his name right. You just called him Blue Yondu.
Honestly, I'm just doing it because of how tickled it makes me when I see your face about it.
Fair.
Triggering bitch is back.
Yeah, bitch.
So he and the Ravagers are trying to take the ship, but Rocket has all those booby traps, which I love, and he's just humming along to the song while he's blowing people up in the air. It was just super cute.
That was a great sequence. It reminded me a lot when right before Guardians 1 came out, Marvel comic books, they rebooted Guardians of the Galaxy for the comics.
Okay.
And they brought them out like a new issue one, and they kind of retconned and rebooted a lot of the continuity.
Because they didn't go anywhere really before the movie. Like you were saying, like
right,
that group kind of wasn't really a big popular thing.
Right.
Story.
It was very surprising when they announced that they were making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when the comic came out, the comic, I believe, came out before the first movie. So this was kind of a lot of people's almost introduction to the characters.
Okay.
Reintroduction for some. But there's a great sequence that reminded me a lot of this scene in the movie, like in the first issue of the comic book. Rocket is basically just like making his way through an enemy spaceship like digging in, like dodging in and out of vents and stuff. Mm-hmm. And every time he like jumps out and pops up behind somebody, he's like, blam, murdered you. And just caps some dude, runs off, scurries off to the next, blam, murdered you.
Yes.
That's a good little exchange there.
That's so good. Bradley Cooper did such a good job with him.
He sure did.
Like, he just sounds great. He's just such a good character, and he just brings that out so well.
And sounds nothing like Bradley Cooper, which I appreciate.
No, no.
Not that I hate Bradley Cooper or anything, but I think it's funny because, like, you always try to get voice actors that sound, especially on his caliber. Like, I want this raccoon to sound like Bradley Cooper.
Right.
Sounds like if Bradley Cooper was from Bronx, you know? And he's just like, I get
it. I love it.
Give him another million.
Yep. Give him another million. Exactly. So Rocket's doing pretty good until Yondu gets that arrow right in front of him, right in front of that forehead. And it's pretty much done. But instead of getting the batteries to take them back to the Sovereign for a million, I think it was a million, Merle decides, hey, I can sell these for a quarter million. And then we have the exchange of people trying to figure out how much a quarter million is, which is like, that's a third of a million. And someone's like, no, it's only 25.
It's a quarter.
We can't do anything with 25 units. And mutiny then ensues. And Yondu is then shot. His fin, which that controls the arrow, right? Is then shot by Nebula because Nebula convinced little tiny Groot that they were going to kill Rocket, and she needed to be able to help. Really was a good thing in the end, but...
You're right.
You know. So that happens, and then we get to Ego's planet, and it's beautiful, just about the size of our Earth moon, or moon for the Earth, and he reveals that he's a celestial. God, that's a hard word for me. Celestial.
You nailed it.
I keep wanting to put an R in there, and I don't know why. I think, like, extraterrestrial, I think, is where I'm at. So I keep... It's celestial, right?
Where would you put the R in celestial?
I keep wanting to say celestial.
Celestial. All
that's
right.
What I keep wanting to say. And then it gets confused in my brain. Celestial. Right?
I almost, like, in
is
my brain...
Is there an R?
No, in my brain, I almost stroked out saying celestial.
It's like, so odd to you?
The wheel stopped for a minute, I was like, oh, shit.
The wheel stopped when I say celestial, because I'm like, I'm not saying it right. I'm not getting all the letters in there, but I am.
You are. You got it.
Anyways, he's a god with a small G.
Yep.
And he tells his story of going from existence, and then he learned to control molecules and grew and learned how to grow and desired the meaning of life. Did you... I like Kurt Russell. Did you feel he was wasted as this character? I don't think I cared about the celestial character.
Yes, I agree with you. I think he could have played a much more important character.
Yes.
And in the comics, Peter's dad isn't Ego.
Okay.
He's if I'm remembering this correctly, he's kind of like a more in line with like a political figure on a planet.
Okay.
Which I think would have been much like,
that makes better sense.
Yeah. Something where Kurt Russell can come back and be a recurring character, you know, like, Robert Redford in Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kurt Russell would have been a much better use in a capacity like that. Not necessarily for that role, but something big, something major.
I agree. I agree 100%. And so in his quest for finding the meaning of life, he created a body for himself of what he thought life would look like, which is a human body, which is his Kurt Russell body. He also does have a penis. So he created a penis for himself. And then he met Peter's mom, which is where he first experienced love. And then he says, I searched for you so long. So long. And was trying to find him. So also, they get into this thing about how, if you loved my mom, why did you leave? You know, it's very soap opera-esque.
And what do you say? He's like, I visited your mom three times on Earth, and if I came back for the fourth, I'd have never left.
I'd have never left. Like,
the spaceman loves me.
There's another thing a trailer park bitch had heard once or twice in her life and believed.
I dated a trailer park princess once.
Did you?
And she
once? Only once?
Dated, yes.
Okay.
Bedded numerous times. I learned my lesson after the first one. You don't date them.
You bet.
You just bed them and then send them back to their double wide.
That is so fucking funny. I banish you back to your two bedroom double wide.
I have picked you up from the gutter, dusted you off, tried to help make something of yourself. Now I cast you back down to the muck.
Go back to your hunter green carpet. popcorn ceilings.
So I dated this trailer park princess for almost a year, and she left me to go back with the dude that beat the shit out of her and also bought her a double wide. That was the rationale.
That's terrible.
Like he changed and he bought me a double wide.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for her.
No, not at all.
Oh, damn it.
Would you like to know?
Yeah.
One of the more dickish things I've ever done in my life.
You don't even have to ask at this point.
So I dated this girl for like a year, right? And before we started dating, she would tell me about all the horrible things that this fucking dude did to her. She was a stripper.
Okay.
And she had a shitty like mom. She said that she showed up one night after she was pregnant and this dude beat the shit out of her. And she got out of the house, went to her mom's house all fucking bloodied up. And her mom's like, what the fuck happened? Well, this happened. Blah, blah. She's like, you better go back home and apologize. Right. Her mom said this. And I was like, what the fuck? And you still talk to your mom? Well, yeah, she's my mom. I love my mom. Fucking you dumb trailer park idiot. So anyway, I was like, you shouldn't put up with that shit. Like no one deserves that. No one should like be better than that. You know, fucking get out of that situation. Mm-hmm. And I was not trying at the time to be like the white knight and like, you know,
right.
Lure her out of that and save her. I was just trying to be a decent human being.
Right.
But somewhere along the line, like apparently she didn't know too many decent human beings in her day. Mm-hmm. And like kind of she's like, I like you. Like, you know, we should start dating or just hang out or whatever. She got out of that situation. And I was too young and dumb to realize like, oh, this bag is a head. This chick is a head full of cats. Like, here's a red flag. Here's a red flag.
Yeah.
Gents, if you're, you know, dealing with someone who is getting out of an abusive relationship, don't be the next guy.
No.
Like, you don't want that.
They need, yeah.
Yeah.
They need to figure that out. They
right.
need to overcome
yeah.
that.
Yep. Yeah, I learned that lesson young, and I'm sharing it with you now so you don't have to experience the same shit I went through.
It's amazing how dumb we can be as human beings when it comes to other human beings.
Correct.
Right?
You are 100% accurate.
You know, I like to say it's like, oh, men are dumb. It's like, no, women are just as stupid. We're all fucking dumb.
Yep.
When it comes to that shit.
Every one of us.
Yeah.
So we dated for the better part of a year, and then apparently at some point during this year, old boy kept, he came back around. I didn't know this, but he was like, you know, he did what I feel is probably the cliched thing that an abusive person will do. Like, I've changed. You made me reevaluate my life. Reevaluate is probably a big word for this fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever, change. But he, you know, he lured her back with tales of like, I have a steady job and I just bought a double wide, but I didn't buy it for me. I bought it for you. It's for us. And this dumb fucking bitch fell for it. And like a truly smart fucking person would do, we were at work at the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And she told all the fucking dancers that she was about to break up with me because old dude came around and like she, you know, has a history and a past and she loves him.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, but don't tell Jack about it. Don't, you know, da 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 da.
Why are you telling everyone?
So, yeah, strip clubs basically being high schools, I found out in about 5 minutes.
Of course.
And I was just like, motherfucker. And I was, I like, there was so, go ahead.
Did you really like her? Like, did, were you, did, like,
I did, yeah. Okay. Like, I like, over the course of, you know, a year, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I hate your kid. Like,
well,
I thought your
anybody's.
Kid, right. I thought your kid was like Chucky from Child's Play, a little demon fucking, but not as cool as Chucky from mm-hmm. Child's Play. Just an evil, demonic little fucking.
Was it Ginger?
No, oh, surprisingly.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, so she dumps me in the DJ booth at a strip club. Let me tell you, you have not lived until you have been dumped in a DJ booth in a strip club. I can say that. Boom, this motherfucker right here. So I was like, oh, okay. And then within like 10 minutes, I got the secondhand information from all the other dancers that were like, you know why she's leaving you, right?
You got the why.
I got the why.
Oh, motherfucker.
And so right there, I'm like, not on my watch. Nope. Homie ain't going out like this.
Oh, no.
So I plotted and I schemed for a little while. And then she let the club know that she would be moving on because she is now taken care of. She's got a fucking double wide. She goes, I can stay at home and make babies. No. So she put in her notice like Friday was going to be the last day.
Wow. She moved fast
on
this.
I know, right?
Wow.
So on her last day, I'm like,
That's the scary part about you is because you think on it. Like, you yeah. don't just react. You're like, I'm going to think of the best, worst thing to do.
To be fair, I do instantly react a lot.
Okay, but.
But when I scheme.
Oh, God, not a good day for whoever's being schemed upon.
So on her last day, she comes into the club. She's all excited. She's about to move on to her new life in a fucking double wide.
I'm holding onto the table because I don't know what's about to happen.
And I'm getting ready to leave. She is coming in for the night. And I've let it be known that, hey, I got her a going away present because I'm a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, 7 o'clock, be by the DJ booth. 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Hey, the show starts at 7. All right. So she comes in and I'm just kind of like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And she's like, yeah, what's up? And I can see kind of all the eyes like peering. Even the dancer on stage was like kind of half dancing and like half looking over at the DJ booth.
Yes.
She's like, I want to see what happens here. I was like, hey, you know, so I kind of figured why you left me and this and that. And I know you're going back with old boy. And she kind of got deflated like she didn't want me to know. But mm-hmm. then I found out she's like, well, I mean, we do have a past and. You know, he has a lot of making up to do. He really has to show me that he's changed. I'm like, no, I get that. I get that. And, you know, he's, you know, I hope for your sake that he has, you know, he's a lucky dude because, like, you're awesome. And I got you a little going away present.
Oh, no.
And she's like, oh, you didn't need to do that. I'm like, I know, but. I think you'll appreciate this.
Mm-mm.
And I gave her a little box. It was all wrapped up in Scooby-Doo wrapping paper because she loves Scooby-Doo.
Oh, my God, no.
And she opened it up.
Oh, no.
And it was a first aid kit.
Oh, no. That's so. Oh, no. Hey, at least it was something she could use.
That's what I'm saying. The funniest thing is it took her about 40 seconds to realize why I got her a first aid kit.
Oh, no.
Like, she opened it up, and I saw faces and reaction just go, you motherfucker.
I want to know the stripper's reaction that was dancing on the stage.
it was like she was kind of, like, in the process of doing, like, a hand, like, a twirl on the pole.
Yeah.
And saw it, like, as she started the turn, the wrapping paper was coming off. As she completed the turn, around. There's a first aid kit. Oh, shit. And then, like, without missing a beat, like, pulled the G-string open to take a dollar from a dude at the tip rail. But when she figured it out, she was so fucking pissed. She's like, oh, fuck you, motherfucker. Throws the first aid kit at me. And just starts, like, hitting me, like, punching and kicking.
She learned that.
And, yeah, right? Interesting that she was on the giving end of that
right.
beatdown. So the bouncer grabs her from the back and, like, pulls her up. And I'm laughing so fucking hard. And she just starts, like, kicking at me. She's like, you motherfucker! You son of a bitch! The epilogue to that story.
Oh, my God.
Is 2 weeks later, she came back to the club with a black eye.
Oh,
boom!
No!
Shouldn't have thrown the first aid kit at me, bitch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is terrible for her, but amazing. Wow. Well, I mean, you've got a if you understand why you're being given a first aid kit, wouldn't that just pop in your brain of like, oh, maybe I should reevaluate this?
You would think.
You'd think.
You would, but apparently, man, you start dangling a double wide in front of someone.
You start dangling a house on tires, man. We got
man.
You lose your sense.
So when I met Rachel, my now wife, one of the first questions I ever asked her was like, hey, what does a double wide do for you? She's like, oh, fucking yuck. I'm like, okay. All right. That's question one. That's off. That would check that one off. You might be a keeper. If I ever said to you, hey, could I lure you into a relationship with a double wide? Fuck no. All right. That's the correct answer. That's number one. Let's pursue this.
We're okay.
Let's see where this ends up.
Man, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did she get her job back there with the club?
No.
Aww.
She did not. In fact, the manager, a dude named Robbie, who just recently passed away, unfortunately, but one of the greatest dudes I've ever worked for. I got in the week after all this went down. I actually got into a little altercation with her new dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the club and she decided to come in with him. And
why?
Because fucking why not? But she was wearing this Supergirl shirt that I bought her. And I'm like, let's see what you're doing here. And this is also the first time I'd physically seen this dude. He was about like 5'2".
Of course. Little man syndrome. Yeah. It's always that way.
Right. So I'm kind of walking to the back office. I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm just getting out of here. But it was a super crowded night. As I'm walking through I'm walking one way through the crowd. They come the other way. Mm-hmm. So they're coming right towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, fuck. And I'm kind of looking away, like I'm not paying her any mind. But then as soon as they're like within earshot, I'm like, nice shirt, whore. And I feel dude kind of like grab me. He's like, what the fuck you say? And I'm like, dude, unlike her, I'm going to hit you the fuck back. And he goes to like grab a beer bottle off a table. One of our bouncers is right next to him, scoops him up in a full Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
So his arms are like tied up above his head. He's completely defenseless. I look around, I'm like, nope, good. I just belted that motherfucker in the nose.
Yeah!
Turns out that happened directly on camera.
Of course it did.
Because after the altercation, I made it back to the office and Robbie was just like, hey man, like what happened? Tell me what happened. I was like, man, like I saw him come in and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to start any shit. They kind of ended up right towards me. Dude just kind of fucking took a swing. I defended myself. And he's just like, he's like, oh, okay, so, you know, so the bouncer didn't have the situation under control. I was like, well, I mean, he did. Like, he swooped in there, like, right away, you know? Like, I just threw a punch. I don't even really know if I...
Oh, you big fat liar.
Hit him hard. And so Robbie, the manager, is just like... and he grabs a remote control.
Don't you hate that?
And he double clicks it, and there's like a wall of TVs in front of his desk. And you could not have framed this better. It's like this is going on. The camera is like right overhead. You see me look around with this dude in a full Nelson, completely defenseless. Just no, nothing. Bam! From way back in Georgia. And I'm just like, shit. And then one of the most baller fucking moves ever, I see him hit rewind and hit record, and he taped over it. And he's like, Jack, I'm doing this for two reasons. Number one, fuck, that girl is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had a great thing with you. She fucked it up. Everyone's walking down their own path, though. You can't do anything about it. Number two, you're a good dude. Up until recently, you've never lied to me. Don't ever lie to me again.
Right.
Don't ever do this again. But you deserved that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, fucking thank you, man.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. Super fucking
what
cool dude. The
good
most
guy.
The most fair guy I've ever worked with in my entire life.
That's
so
fair.
When she came back like 2 weeks later trying to get her job, he was just like, no.
Uh-uh.
No. Mm-mm. He's like, I value Jack working here way more than I value you working here. And you two will not get along, so no.
And it'll cause trouble because she'll bring that guy back and it would be a mess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you. You're a good guy.
I know.
You're a good guy.
I know.
You're a good guy,
Don't
Jack.
Fuck me over. I'll mess with you emotionally and psychologically. Psychological warfare is what I prefer.
You love that shit.
I fucking love it.
Oh, man.
I believe that makes me a gaslighter.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Hey, all right.
Man, that's so good. I love strip club stories. I could listen to them all day. That's what we should have. You should have a strip club podcast.
All right. There is one.
Is
actually
there?
Yeah, there's I've chatted back and forth on social media with them. It's like Next on Stage One.
Yes.
I was like, which is a phrase I've said before many, many a time.
God, that's so good.
Coming up next on Stage One, give it up for Sapphire.
Sapphire.
Yeah.
That was a good
A lot of strippers are named after cars that they will never afford.
Mm-hmm.
Like fucking Trailer Park Princess, her stage name was Lexus. I'm like, you'll never drive one.
Of course.
And to be honest, like after that situation, I called her Trailer Park, like in all the stores, I only referred to her. So when Rachel and I got married, we were in Vegas. I had a bunch of down south friends with a bunch of up north friends mm-hmm. that had all met each other for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And they're just like, hey, who was that fucking Trailer Park chick that you dated, talked about? I, for the life of me, could not remember her real name. We there was a brief moment in my bachelor party where we collectively took like 30 minutes to try to figure out this girl's name.
Oh my God.
I was like, what the fuck was it? God damn, it's been, man.
Jesus.
I don't know.
That's so good.
I did give her that first aid kit though. I remember that shit. That was fucking funny. Yeah.
Those aren't cheap.
This is a Guardians of the Galaxy podcast,
isn't
it?
Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I think that might have been the most epic sidetrack we've ever
gone
on. That's
epic. That went on. But that was so good. God, that's a great story. All right. We'll get back to Ego.
Okay.
I think we were at Ego. So, yeah, he had that whole exchange about how if I'd have gone one more time, I'd have never let her go, blah, blah, blah. And so, and then Peter is able to conjure up this light in his hands, like lightning in his hands, and or, you know, the light is what they call it. And he shapes it. I hated this because it was so hokey.
I could see that.
He shapes it into a ball and then they start to play catch.
I could see you hating that.
You know, it was just too much. It was like, you're in your 30s. Like, let it go. Yeah, it's like, I just wanted to play catch with my dad. It's like, not at 34.
And it was kind of akin to sorcery, and I know how you feel about sorcery.
Right. Tossing light back and forth? Fuck you.
Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah, I didn't care for that at all. I was like, this is too ridiculous. It's too hokey. So, anyways, we hop over to the Ravager ship, which was Yondu's ship. And people, there's a full-on mutiny. They have killed all of those who were loyal to Yondu, just sending them out into space. And guess who takes over?
Taserface!
And Rocket laughing at that and making fun of that shit reminds me of some shit you would do.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's like, Taserface. And Taserface, like, it's metaphorical. And he thinks it's so hilarious. And he was like, what was your second choice? Scrotum hat? It's so cool. So it's so hilarious. In the meantime, Nebula gets a ship. She's getting the fuck out of there. And then I didn't really need this whole storyline either, maybe. Maybe I'm just a cold-hearted bitch. I didn't need to know about the sob story between Gamora and Nebula and them fighting and all that thing. Maybe too emotional, or am I just an asshole?
I mean, yeah, you're an asshole. But
I feel like we spent too much time on it, maybe. Or I don't know. Maybe that's going to help us in the end.
It is definitely a character building thing.
Okay. All right. Well, you find out that when they were young, Gamora and Nebula would fight each other, and then Gamora won all the time. So Thanos would replace parts of Nebula with machinery, essentially.
Yes.
Which is terrible. That is terrible.
I mean, you're really laying the groundwork for Thanos being a bad motherfucker.
He's not a great father.
No.
We thought Ego was bad. Thanos, not great.
Might be a touch worse.
Might be a touch. So Rocket and Yondu are put in a cell, and poor little Groot is made into the mascot for the Ravengers. But I do love his little suit that they made him. They're like, take him to the tailor. And he gets...
Which I love that the Ravengers have a tailor.
Have a tailor, right? But you need to. I mean, you're gonna get messed up in war. You got to have somebody to sew that shit back together.
I mean, makes sense.
But I wouldn't have thought about the tailor's headquarters in the ship, you know? So... Rocket and So I put Yondu in my notes, but it got changed to Honda. That made me laugh.
Honda?
Rocket and Honda.
Now we got another name that you're not calling Yondu.
Rocket and Blue Honda. Honda Azul. Use him to try to find.
Fuck you.
Oh, that made me laugh. That was funny. Shit, I'm hilarious. So, let's see. Rocket and Yondu use Baby Yoda to try to find another prototype Finn that Yondu had been working on. And poor little Baby Groot, this did make me laugh because it just went on and on for forever and it got funnier as it went, like Drax's laugh. He brings back everything else in the ship except for the damn Finn. They keep trying to explain it to him and he can't get it.
And you think that comedy comes in threes, so on the first one, on the third one, right, you're going to get the Finn, but no, they went like six, seven, eight. He brought a whole fucking desk. Which was adorable, little tiny Baby Groot just dragging this gigantic desk.
And he's trying to be quiet because all of the Ravagers are asleep, but then when you get to the desk, it's just... It was so funny. And I was like, okay, the third one's the charm because that's with everything. But it just went on and on forever. And it's like my laugh got harder as it went on. And he even brought like underwear. Oh, and I love when he brought the eye that one of them has. They take it out when they sleep. And Rocket's like, leave it. He'll wake up and be like, where did I put my eye? Which was like a callback to the leg from the first movie, which is so fucking funny. A severed toe is one of them.
tell me you have a drawer with severed human toes on this ship.
Yondu's just going, no. And Rocket's like, let's just not ever talk about this again. And luckily, I believe his name was Kraglin.
Yeah.
That is the one member of the Ravagers who remains true to Yondu. And he was like, I didn't mean to cause no mutiny. It killed all my friends. I don't know why he sounds like that, but he legitimately sounds like that in the movie to me.
And I believe we talked about this on the first one, but that's Sean Gunn, James Gunn's brother.
Yes.
Also the person who does the mocap work for Rocket Raccoon.
Yes, that's right. I forgot that. So he helps Rocket and Yondu get out, gives Yondu his fin, and then they start wrecking house. And that was so cool. Okay, that is one of the coolest weapons ever, is that fucking arrow.
Yaka arrow? Get out of here.
When he whistles and it just goes through them all, it is so damn cool.
Now, what made this sequence even better is because that fin is extremely comic accurate.
Oh, okay.
So that's more akin to what Yondu's head looks like in the comics. He's got much bigger, more pronounced fin. So when he came walking out with that, I was like, all right, cool.
Okay.
Now I was like, and I wasn't the hugest Guardians fan of the comic, but it was cool just kind of seeing that more proper fin. Mm-hmm. And then the way that whole sequence was filmed.
Come a little bit closer, you're my kind of man. So big and so strong. So good. And when they get into that one part where they're just falling off of balconies, and then just there's a part where the camera lifts up and you just see the red trail of the arrow just hitting everybody.
Yep.
God.
And Yondu just like not even breaking stride. No, just strutting. Just strutting.
Just strutting. It's so damn good.
And then Baby Groot gets killed.
Yeah, with his vines and throws him over.
He fucking murked that dude cold-blooded, mm-hmm. Which, I mean, the dude deserved it, but I'm like, holy shit, Groot's a killer.
Yep. And Yondu, I love that he didn't just poke Taserface with the arrow. No, he kind of blows him up.
Yep.
And luckily, they're able to get out before the whole ship blows, but not before Taserface sends out the coordinates of Yondu's ship to be tracked. And of course, he gets laughed at for his name Taserface by the Sovereign people.
Tell him when you find him that the man responsible was Taserface.
It was so good. Those jokes like that were so good. So they are going to go to Ego to where the Guardians are at, and it's 700 jumps, but you're not supposed to make more than 50 for any kind of mammal, I believe is what that was. And so they are all kinds of like, their eyes are bulging out and they're just screaming. And in one of those jumps, you get your Stan Lee cameo.
Yes.
It was so cute.
Which, this is actually a very important cameo.
Okay. I didn't understand. I figured there was something it was important where he was at or what he was talking to.
Yes. Okay. So he was talking, those beings are called the Watchers. And they watch. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. They record history of everything. They are not to interfere. They are not to partake. They simply watch.
Okay.
The most famous of them is Uatu, the Watcher, who has interacted several times in the past. He's kind of broken the laws. He's gone rogue, and he has interacted. He has been involved in some pretty major storylines. Mm-hmm. The popular fan theory going into this, before this cameo, was that Stan Lee was eventually going to be revealed to be the Watcher.
Oh.
Which would have made perfect sense.
Okay.
Would have made all the sense in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you had him in, you had Stan Lee cameoing in 1940s Captain America. Mm-hmm. He's now in 2016's Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And then when his line to the Watchers, he's like, and then that time I was a FedEx man. You know, so like, okay, like something's going on here. Like, this could be cool. So, you know, of course, at this point, at any rate, it has been revealed that he is not one of the Watchers.
Okay.
But still a very cool sequence to see. Also very awesome to see the Watchers brought into the MCU.
We have not seen anything like them before, right? I haven't missed that, right?
No, you haven't missed anything. You know, the Watchers are always, you know, very behind the scenes.
Okay.
So basically, say the end of Avengers was happening off in the background where you can't, maybe they were astral projecting. The Watchers were sitting there watching just to document all of this history.
Okay.
That's kind of their jam.
All right.
They're voyeurs.
Okay. And he is telling his story. Yeah. He's telling his stories to the Watchers. So cute. So let's see. We then cut to Ego's planet. And we have this really cute scene with Peter and Gamora where he gets Gamora to finally dance to some Sam Cooke, Bring It On Home to Me, Baby. If that doesn't get you moving, I don't know what is.
Yeah. You know?
And they have this unspoken thing. They talk about how they have this unspoken thing.
But you can't talk about it because then it's not unspoken.
Right, exactly. And it'll be spoken of. So Gamora knows that Mantis is afraid of something and that something isn't right there. And Peter doesn't like to hear that because he's finally found his family. And Gamora's the one who encouraged him to go there in the first place. And then they have that whole, I thought we were your family, or thought you had found your family, you know. And so Gamora leaves and is out trying to reach Rocket because they haven't been able to. And Nebula shows up in that ship and overly dramatically just, as she's shooting at her. And they end up in a cave shooting at each other. I wrote I didn't need this sister fight. I didn't, I don't know. It just seemed bratty. I didn't need it. Of course, I'm an only child, so I don't get it.
That's fair.
I didn't have to fight with nobody. And it happens that it ends up with, you know, Nebula or Gamora saving Nebula out of the ship, and then Nebula will not kill Gamora. And it was like, I just wanted a sister. You want to know my note?
I do.
Barf a fucking Roni.
Barf a Roni. The San Francisco treat.
What?
Rice a Roni, San Francisco treat. A little play on that.
Oh. It's a San Francisco treat? That was the slogan?
Rice a Roni, the San Francisco treat.
I completely do not remember that.
Hmm.
Anyway, so that happens in the cave and the cavern thing. And then Ego and Peter talk about how they're, you know, talk about the song Brandy and how they kind of identify with what's going on in the song and that they are immortal as long as the light on the planet exists, you know, because they're celestial beings and he can create with the light. And I love, because you're going to, this will come into play later, but when Peter learns that he can create things with the light, he's like, I want to make a Pac-Man and a Skeletor and Heather Locklear, like just some crazy shit. Ego then tells Peter that he's there for a purpose and there's more to the story. I felt like this shot was very long. Like this whole getting to the point was very long.
Yeah.
About what Ego wanted to do. But his purpose is the expansion, which is to take over everything. And the flower that we saw in the beginning is actually a piece of Ego. And so they're spread everywhere throughout the universe. And eventually everything will become me or us.
And he just wasn't powerful enough to do it himself.
He needed another celestial being.
He needed another being.
So then you find out that Peter is not his only offspring.
No.
In fact, he's mated with everything in the galaxy.
He's just been doing some fucking.
He had to make a penis because he was spreading that shit everywhere. And he made all these different children, different species, but they never worked. Yondu was hired to bring Ego's children to him, and only Peter is the one who carries the celestial DNA.
Yeah, Yondu kind of like he knew what Yondu knew what Ego was doing.
He eventually found out,
and then and then was like,
and then ended up keeping Peter. That's the reason why he kept him, because he understood that the children were being harmed. He didn't know that in the beginning. He wasn't told that.
So that whole keeping him around because he's tiny and good for thieving.
Not true.
Not true. Turns out Yondu has a bit of a heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, Peter's kind of getting brainwashed on this in a little, like he's understanding the beauty of it. He's kind of sad about it, like what's going to happen to his friends. You know, his mother was immortal, all those sorts of stuff. But he's kind of, you know, getting with the idea. Until Ego reveals that he hated to put that tumor in her brain.
Oh.
And he put that tumor in her brain so that she'd die and he would not be tempted to see her anymore. Oh, my God.
How did that land with you?
Oh, it hurt. Oh, my God. I was so pissed.
And I will say that Peter's immediate reaction was perfect.
Chris Pratt did such a good fucking job.
Like
with that.
Just snapped right out of that little trance and starts fucking blasting.
Shot him right then.
What the fuck? Pew, 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 pew.
Absolutely. And that's when Ego starts switching forms. He becomes Hasselhoff at one point.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, cause that's just a formation of him. And so he's like, fine, then I'll just use you as a battery for this, expansion. And he like, sticks the light in him to begin. And so those flowers then start to morph into this stuff that just starts taking over everything. It just starts tearing down. Like it was planted behind a Dairy Queen and it just starts taking over and destroying everything. But luckily the Guardians show up with Yondu and they save Peter. They crash the ship into Ego's Kurt Russell form. So they do that, and but that's just a representation of him. They're going to have to kill the core. They're going to have to go to the brain, because everything's got a brain, and it's in the caverns.
Because, of course. That's video game logic right there.
Of course, yes, yes. We have to get to the final level, to the core. So they get on the ship to go to the caverns, because they know where it's at. Mantis told them where it's at. And I love Peter and Yondu's moment in the ship where Yondu's like, do you really think Thieven is why I never delivered you to this guy? And I don't know why this hit me so funny, but he was like, that's what you told me, you old doofus.
Funny.
You said you were going to eat me. I love the word doofus so much. Yeah. It is just it's like the epitome of stupid. And so anytime I hear it, it makes me laugh.
A word that doesn't get brought out with any great regularity.
It does not. And so when I hear it, it tickles me. I'm like, thank you to whoever wrote that in the script, because it got me.
What about, so is it full doofus or will you chuckle at doof?
Doof is not as funny as doofus to me. I like hearing doofus.
Good to know.
So anyways,
I'm a big fan of dolt.
I never hear that.
I'll break that one out once in a. You got to have a few words like that tucked away in your vocabulary that you bust out to really just emphasize. So for you, it's doofus. For me, it's dolt.
I also love when you call people a fucking mutt. It kills me. Murders me. It's so funny. And then, of course, you know, Yondu tried to stop that from happening to him. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So then they go to.
Blah, blah, blah.
So they take the ship down into the caverns. But then there's more trouble, because not only do we have to deal with Ego, we have to deal with the Sovereign Fleet.
Oh, they found them.
They found them. And it's a mess because they're chasing those batteries. So they make their presence known as the Guardians are drilling into the core to destroy the brain. And so a battle ensues. So now Rocket is going to have to rig these batteries. I can't even remember the name of them now. to blow up the core. And it's risky because it's going to destroy the whole planet when it does, because these things are very explosive. And Groot is now in charge of getting the battery and the switches and the buttons to the core. And so Rocket trying to teach him which switches to hit and which button not to hit was super cute. That was a mess.
That was a mess. Hot mess.
So, actually, this is my favorite part of the movie, because it got me both times I watched this movie, because it's so stupid. When Rocket wants some tape to cover up the death button, and he asks Peter. Now they're all out there fighting, right? This because the Sovereign Fleet is there, and he asks Peter for tape. And so you hear him, you don't see him, but you hear him through the caverns going, "Hey, Gamora, do you have any tape?" And there's these battle sounds, and he's like, "Ow! Hey, Drax, got any tape? Yeah, scotch tape will work. No, well then why did you ask me?" And then he goes to every freaking one. "Yondu, you got any tape?" In the middle of the bat. I had tears, and I don't know why that's so funny to me.
It's a funny bit.
It's so damn funny. And then he comes back and he's like, "Nobody has any tape." And Rocket goes, "Did you ask Nebula?" Well, she was next to Yondu when I asked him. So if she had any, she would have said anything. I fucking died at that. That was so damn funny to me.
That was money. That was
just
good.
And all you see is Rocket's reaction to him. You don't even see him out there asking. I think that it was so perfectly shot. It was just, "Hey, got any tape?" It got me. It was so fucking funny.
Even though this movie maybe didn't land the way we wanted it to, James Gunn did a phenomenal job building each individual character. Mm-hmm. And just giving them their own unique voice.
We had talked about that before. He just understood those characters.
Right.
He just totally got them. So while Peter asked for all this damn tape, so funny, Groot runs off with the battery bomb. So they're all going to die. Yep. Rocket's like, "We're all going to die." So they're still battering the Sovereign, and Ego comes back, like his light form or celestial form. And Mantis, as you heard her mention before, she always helps her master sleep. So she is able to put him to sleep. She's able to hold him off for just a minute. And with Nebula's help, they blow up the Sovereign Fleet. Yondu does she plugs into the ship somehow because she's part machine and then blows them all to hell.
I did like the ship's like little lasers and stuff that moved around. Like those were pretty sharp.
Those were cool. They had the little balls that moved around and shot out the lasers. That was really cool. When that happens, the ship blows up. There's so much that the ship blows up. And then luckily, Peter and Yondu come floating down out of the smoke.
Fuck, I love this bit.
And he was like, Peter goes, tells Yondu, he's like, "You look like Mary Poppins." And I love him asking, is he cool? Yeah, he's cool. "I'm Mary Poppins, y'all."
"Mary Poppins, y'all."
So good.
I loved how this scene was shot, just because, you know, they're up until that very point, there's always like the relationship between Yondu and Peter was always just kind of, you know, like, "Well, this is a dude that wanted to eat me."
Yeah.
But then when he asked him if he was cool, and Peter's just like, he takes a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh, it was so good.
So good. Like
that was a good heartwarming spot. Yeah.
Like we talked about on the last Guardians episode that we did, how, you know, Rachel and I've met Michael Rooker a couple of times. One of the coolest dudes in the world to meet. Like if you ever go to a convention and get a chance to meet Michael Rooker, meet him, because he's an awesome guy. Everyone, when you go to a convention like that, and you meet someone, it's like a 20-30 second, like, "Hey, appreciate your work. Oh, cool. Thanks. Here's an autograph. On your way."
Right.
Like Michael Rooker takes time to like chat with every single person that comes to you. Like, and you can tell he's genuinely engaged with like what he's saying, who he's talking to. So we the second or third time we met him was after Guardians 2 came out, and just waiting in line, you could hear him, "I'm Mary Poppins, y'all." Aww. Mary Poppins. Like so many people just wanted him to say that. He had no problem with it.
Right.
You know? You get some of these actors who are famous for a catchphrase or something, they'd probably rather die than say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's sitting there, he's talking with kids, he's signing their Funko Pops. Like, "I'm Mary Poppins, y'all." Like just coolest fucking dude.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
I love when you talk about him to know that he's that way.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. Like, I can't wait until we get back to normal conventions again. Because like Rooker, like he's a mainstay at a lot of those shows. Mm-hmm. Like we'll have to go. You'll have to meet him.
I'd love to meet him.
And then we can tell him about this podcast, and he'll listen to our podcast.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that'd be so exciting.
Right. And then we could watch a Michael Rooker movie that you've never seen, and maybe you could call him Blue Merle to his face. See what happens then.
I lovingly call him Blue Merle now. I feel bad. Like after this one, I felt bad about calling him Blue Merle earlier, but now it just has to stay. You know what I mean?
Right. I feel you.
Yeah. He got the character did a great arc. In these films.
I was not expecting what we got.
Mm-hmm. So, he's Mary Poppins. And I love that shot of when they all land on the ground and the camera's spinning around them. Like, that was really cool.
We get the Guardians version of the Avenger shot.
Yeah. And all's really cool and triumphant until a piece of debris hits Mantis. And it hits hard.
And then Drax, Mantis, look out.
Right after it hits her. I was almost expecting him to laugh out loud because of how sharp it hit her, but no. Look out.
Look out.
I'm so good.
Fucking dummy.
So that, of course, allows Ego to wake up, and now he's like a light head with like light tentacles, and it's a mess. Another mess. So it was a really cool sequence, though, of them fighting him. Like, Yondu had the arrow that's just going through the tentacles and knocking him out. Rocket's killing it. It was super good. But then it gets to the point where it's not going so well. And Ego's got the Guardians. And he's kind of got them all at a standstill. Drax was trying to get a Mantis out of there to get to the rescue ship with... What was the guy's name that's the faithful one to Yondu? I can't remember. Yeah. So he brought the ship down to go rescue them. And so they don't have much time left because thankfully Groot hit the right button. So they have 5 minutes. And Ego's got the Guardians. And just as he's about to cover Yondu with debris, Yondu goes, I fly the arrow with my heart.
I don't use my fin.
Right. I use my heart. You know, and I think during this, though, like Ego's trying to tell Peter about the purpose and all that stuff. And finally, Peter's like, he's able to create the light himself because he did it with his heart. And he was like, you shouldn't have killed my mom and squished my Walkman. What a good line. And then the chain starts to fucking play again.
And it hits even harder this time.
Listen to the wind blow. Damn it. God, it's so good.
Normally when you see a big action piece like this, you get something a little faster, mm-hmm. a little more high octane.
Yeah.
But goddamn, Fleetwood Mac can slap.
It fucking bangs.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, no, it was perfect for that. Mm-hmm. Again, the way they wove music into this movie was so awesome.
And they did it so well on the first one, mm-hmm. and they blasted it out of the water on this one.
They topped it on this one. So Rocket tries to get Yondu on. So what's happening is they're running to the ship. The bomb's going to go off. The battery bomb's going to go off. And now Peter and Ego are fighting. And Rocket tries to get Yondu to the ship for extraction. And Yondu's like, he has to save Peter. He has to make up for his doings. Oh, God. So Rocket and also there was a moment we didn't talk about, but Rocket and Yondu had this good moment earlier on in the movie where they were like, they were pretty similar. Like they kind of have had the same path that they've gone on, right? So Rocket gives Yondu a spacesuit and an arrow ring. And Groot says, I am Groot, which means welcome to the frickin' Guardians of the Galaxy.
But he didn't say frickin'.
We got to talk about your language. So then, Ego and Peter are fighting, and then they have that quintessential where they come together full power and they form the rocks into, so Ego forms it into like his Kurt Russell form and Peter forms it into fucking Pac-Man like he said he was going to do.
Complete with the Pac-Man sound effect. Yes! Wah, 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 wah.
It was so damn hilarious. So that's happening, and they got to go. And Rocket gives the order for the ship to take off without Peter on it. And it's so sad hearing Drax like, where's Peter? We can't go without Peter. Like, it was super sad.
Like
it got me.
I came to this movie for giant spectacle and people with insane, not possible physiques. Mm-hmm. And now you start hitting me up with all this emotion.
My heart starts hurting.
Like, what's going on here?
My heart's hurting.
Like, why are my fucking eyes leaking?
Mm.
What's going on here? It's only going to get worse.
It's, oh my God, it only gets fucking worse. So right before the bomb goes off, Ego tells Peter, look, if you do this, if you kill the light, you're going to be mortal. You're going to be like everybody else.
What's wrong with that?
So wrong with that. Kind of hokey, but it got me. And then the damn bomb goes off. And that shot of the light going and the things falling and Peter just standing there and the light leaving his hands, the immortality leaving his hands, was so good. And then finally, Yondu rescues him. Ugh. And then he goes, which was hokey, but it got me in the second time. I laughed at it the first time, but it got me on the second time I watched the movie. But he's like, he may have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy.
Wow, you laughed at that the first time. Wow.
I did. Well, I wasn't expecting. It was just, I think it was the delivery. It made me kind of giggle. But no, it the second time, but then it was sentimental.
Okay.
I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, but it was sentimental the whole time, but I was like, oh, that was funny. I wasn't expecting him to say it the way he said it. It was kind of funny.
Because that, like, I only saw Guardians 2 in the theater one time.
Okay.
And I think I've only watched it maybe once since then,
mm-hmm.
other than reviewing it the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time that gets emotion.
Yeah.
Like the first time at the theater, because I don't think anyone, much like I kind of joked about earlier, like no one was expecting this
right.
much heart and emotion at the end of the movie. It, like when that line drops, you could hear like grown ass men and their dates just be like,
I don't know why it made me laugh the first time. I think it was the delivery. It made me laugh the first time. Like it just made me giggle when I heard it.
Okay.
You know, but it was sentiment. It was sweet. It was sad. It was super sad. But don't worry. I cry like a fucking, like an idiot because then.
I'm still human, damn it.
Oh my God. And then, Yondu, he saves Peter and he doesn't make it.
He puts the space suit, yep. Which is like a
to protect
plasma
yep.
covering that keeps you mm-hmm. protected in space. And he only had one.
Only had one.
And he gave it to Peter.
And Peter trying to, like, yelling no and trying to be like, no, you can't do this. You know, it's to stay alive. Like, that was super sad. I lost it. I was gone.
You should. That's what you get for laughing at that moment.
I know. I think it was just the delivery. It was sad, but it was just something
bad. It was the delivery, goddammit.
But he wasn't your daddy. I don't know why it was. I don't know why it got me. But anyway, yeah, I fucking lost it. And he dies, and then we get back on the ship.
And not only does he pass away, but when he puts the hands around Peter's head and just gives him like the little pat, I'm like, oh God damn it!
Like, I'm your daddy, and I'm proud of you. That pat.
Fuck. Just right in the fucking feels.
Right in the heart. He whistled an arrow into my heart is what happened. And it started a waterfall that I could not stop. And I was in the chair, yeah, like knees in the chair, hands on the thing, like looking at it. I was like, no, it was terrible.
I think we need to address the fact that you just nailed like one of quite possibly what could be the best lyric to a cheese dick song ever. He whistled an arrow into my heart and caused a waterfall of emotion.
Oh my God, that's going on our Pussy Galore album.
Those were words that left your mouth and you said them so
sense.
Casually as if you did not realize the gold which you had just created.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't because it was all in the context of the movie. Like, that's legitimately what I meant. What happened?
Well, I mean, true geniuses don't realize they're geniuses.
Sometimes you just don't know your own work.
God,
what a mess.
Well done, Foster.
Thank you. Like, I would have never known I was capable of such gold.
Like, as those words left your mind, I'm like, oh my God. I believe this is what Buddhist monks refer to as attaining nirvana. He whistled an arrow into my heart
and caused a waterfall.
My God.
Wow.
I got nothing left for the rest of this podcast.
I don't either.
That trumps everything.
Wow. Holy shit.
Motherfucker.
Well, we do have to finish the movie. We're right at the end.
Fine.
All right. So, because I keep crying with my waterfall of emotions. Peter, they're putting trinkets around Yondu's body, you know, preparing him for burial
his space funeral.
And he's talking about how he always imagined his dad as David Hasselhoff back in the day. And he said that's pretty much what he got, even though, you know, he couldn't sing, but he like a god, but he could whistle like a god. And he had, you know, he had a ship instead of a car. And like it was a pretty good little speech that he gives about Yondu.
So there is an interesting piece of backstory to Chris Pratt's performance in this.
Okay.
Because Chris Pratt, I mean, he's a fine enough actor, but like there was just something about this performance, like especially at the end mm-hmm. here, that really just kind of hit.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently when he was filming Jurassic World, Chris Pratt's father passed away and he was like super close. Oh. And this was the movie that helped him deal with that.
Oh, damn.
And like, in what a way, huh?
It makes me want to cry.
Does
again.
It whistle an arrow into your heart?
It does.
And
damn it.
And unleashes a waterfall of emotion.
Shit. So anyways, and then he leaves that with, sometimes the thing you're searching for is ribbon bend by your side the whole time.
Oh, and now it's become the spoken thing between he and Gamora.
We took a long time to get to that moral of the story, but we got there. And Nebula and Gamora hug before she leaves to go kill Thanos. And the faithful Ravager gives Peter a zune. A zune?
A zune.
A zune.
It's what all the people on Earth are listening to now. It holds 300 songs.
I remember one person in class in high school had a zune, and we were like, a fucking zune?
Right? What if you want to talk about one of the all-time greatest flops in technology... It's the iPod killer.
Mm-hmm.
No. It most definitely was not.
Twas not. No.
No. History tells a different story.
I mean, I remember I went to redneck high school. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, you remember that?
I remember fondly.
And I remember like us all being, what pathetic, a Zune.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They sold Zunes at GameStop. that bastion of fucking technology where you go to get all your MP3 devices. They had,
right.
they had a little Zune section. It started out a big Zune section and then very quickly went down to like a little bin of mm-hmm. discounted Zunes.
Yeah, no.
What a piece of shit that was.
So he gives Peter the Zune that I think Yondu had been keeping for him, you know, to give to him. And Peter ends up giving him his arrow, Yondu's arrow. I think he would have wanted you to have this. That was super nice.
Was
I like
nice
that.
One.
And then that song Father and Son plays.
Oh,
damn
fuck.
It. Oh my God. And then, oh my God almighty, damn it. Yondu gets the kick ass Ravager funeral because Rocket sent out the word of what had happened and his whole story. And he dies with honor for a Ravager funeral with fucking fireworks and just all of the different sects or whatever groups or whatever. They're all coming together. Stallone's there for the damn funeral. Fuck. I lost my shit.
Blubbering mess.
A blubbering mess. And it's just so good them watching the funeral and him dying with honor. And then, you know, then we have a wrap up with our guardians and Drax tells Mantis she's beautiful
on the inside,
which is super funny. Gamora and Peter, I thought they were going to kiss, but they didn't. They embrace. And what's his face goes to work on the arrow trying to get it to work. This is kind of like, well, the movie kind of ends.
Yeah.
And then this is one of the credit scenes.
There were five.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, the like in all of the emotion of the end of that movie, the one that fucks me up the most is that shot of Rocket.
Yes.
With the tear.
Oh, God. And because he and Peter have this thing where he was like because Rocket makes this thing of like he yelled. He didn't chase him away. Like he was mean to everybody and he yelled at people, but he didn't chase him away. But you think he's talking about like Yondu and he is. But then he's like, and he steals batteries for no reason. So he kind of thinks the same way about himself.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, and he's like, but he didn't chase him away. And Peter realizes he's like, of course he didn't. You know, like you're okay, Rocket.
It's like, oh, God damn it.
And then him crying, his little tears. Oh, my God.
Right. I was just like, fuck. God damn. I was watching that last night alone in my house, just like fucking bawling like a bitch. I was like, oh, son of a, God damn you, James Gunn. And then I immediately went to YouTube to watch his, which we talked about on the first Guardians podcast, his PG porn.
That's right.
I was like, okay, now, all right, now I feel better. Now I'm a dude again. Fucking PG porn. That's funny. Hey, let's get through these five credit scenes here.
So that is the end of the movie. And then the first credit scene is, yeah, the faithful Ravager. I can never remember this guy's name. But he's trying to work the arrow, and he's got the fin on, and he's trying to whistle it, and it's moving around and not doing well. And then he ends up stabbing Drax accidentally.
Ah! Which is another great Drax reaction.
Yes, it's so loud. It's over the top. And then so the little Ravager just runs away. Then another credit scene, we have Stallone and the other Ravager. Are they like, they branched off from, they've like all divided, the Ravagers have?
So,
or no,
Stallone's group is interesting because they are, in the comics, the OG Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Because when they eventually, the Guardians that we know now in the movies were not always that way in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So like all those characters were the original comic book version of the Guardians.
Oh.
Which I thought was pretty boss.
Okay, cool. Well, they all decide to reunite with one another after the funeral of Yondu, because sometimes it takes a death to reunite the family. So that's one of them. The other one is the Sovereign People, the Sovereign High Priestess.
Ooh, this one got me tingly.
Okay, because I don't know what this is going to be, but I'm sure it's going to come back up. She has created what is going to be called Adam, and it is supposed to destroy the Guardians.
Adam Warlock.
Okay.
He is.
Is it a being?
It is.
Oh, okay.
He is a like an old comic book character who factored in a lot in the Infinity Gauntlet comic book series.
Okay.
He was actually kind of like the main player of that, like a super powerful being. That's Adam Warlock.
Oh.
I just Googled a picture for you.
Okay.
So he's pretty cool. Like like I said, factored in a lot into the cosmic side of things. Mm-hmm. He's gone toe to toe with the Guardians before a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't got him yet. Maybe we'll get him in Guardians Volume 3.
Okay.
But we got that nice little teaser.
Because it's not a human being. It looks like a machine.
It's
in the credit scene anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He is the guy. When did he first show up? I want to say 60s, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe not. Yeah. 67. I just had to Google that. Took a rare Google break. But yeah, Adam Warlock, super fucking powerful, right, cosmic badass. That would be. It would be cool to see him brought into the universe.
Okay. All right. So that is one. And then we get Groot as a teenager who Peter comes into his room. He's like, you need to clean up your room. There's like leaves everywhere. And it's like, all you do is sit and play on your video game, mind-numbing video game. And then Peter's like, now I see how Yondu felt.
Yep.
Uttered by every parent. And so that's another one. Groot's a teenager. And then the last one is Stan Lee on that planet still telling his stories, and I guess the Watchers are about to leave him, or...
Hey, you guys are my ride home!
Yeah. And so that is the last post-credit scene.
And there was a lot of little Easter eggs in the credits, too, that you may not have even known. Like, you got your first look at Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster. He showed up in a couple little pictures.
Photos?
Yeah.
I didn't think to look at those. The only thing I loved how like certain lines would be, I am Groot, and then they would change to the actual text.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that was cute. I didn't think to look at the pictures.
Yeah, there was a couple little things squirreled away in there.
Oh, well, and then I'll go back.
Also, in that scene with Sly and the other Guardians or whatever, there was a robot head.
Yeah.
You know who did the voice for that robot head?
No, but is that the one that was like, I'm so excited we're all back together?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-mm.
That voice came in like a wrecking ball.
And
was
Miley?
That was Miley Cyrus.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was really hoping that they would make a like a Guardian series with those guys just to, you know, get a little something different. And I'm a huge Stallone fan, but nothing has been revealed yet. Maybe they'll bring it to the Disney Plus universe.
Okay.
Be okay with that. But we're on the clock, man. Sly ain't getting any younger.
No. We need to get it done. He's slurring more than ever.
Right? Still in great shape. He's on that HGH like a mofo, but we got to get him in some more movies.
Yeah.
Stat.
Wow. Super good. Super good.
Overall, where would you put it on the...
God, you know, when it was really good, it really just outweighed all the shitty parts.
But you did have to go through a lot to get there.
I did. I'll give it I don't know if I want to give it a 3.5 or a 4. Probably a 3.5.
I'll match that. I'll go 3 Guardians out of 5.
There was just so much I loved about it, but it just... The final execution of it was not quite right.
Yeah, there were just so many different things going on. Mm-hmm. We had like the Nebula Gamora story. Mm-hmm. We had the Peter Ego story. We had the Yondu story. Mm-hmm. We had just everything going on in this movie. They could have easily trimmed it up.
Yeah. I think that's why certain parts, it's like, I didn't mean to be heartless about it. It was like, okay, well, you could have gotten rid of this to give me more of this. Like, you could have got, you know, that's why I got tired of certain things, I think, probably.
But like you said, man, when they hit with the good bits, with the emotional bits, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, this movie has a lot of heart, just like the first one.
Yeah.
And those musical numbers, holy shit.
Did like, so well.
Where
the
are you
going
to go for the third one?
Mm-mm.
Like, what songs do you have left?
I don't know. But that, yeah, they did very, very good. But yeah.
All right. So overall, not a bad movie.
Mm-mm. I could definitely watch it again and not hate it. I mean, I don't hate it, you know, like
right.
I can watch it again. It's not something I'm like, I hope I never have to watch again.
I find a lot of times if I'm going through a movie the first time and it's not what I expected, and I didn't expect any of this from Guardians mm-hmm. 2. If I go back through it a second time, it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess it's a lot harder if the movie sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nope, I really didn't like that.
Right.
I was that way with The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Watching it the first time, I'm like,
that's Bane, right?
That's Bane.
I never
yep.
saw that one. Shocker.
You're not missing much.
I'm missing Tom Hardy.
I mean, you are missing Tom Hardy. That's true. he got his traps in ridiculous shape for that movie.
Right.
I think he just worked out his traps in that movie. He's like, I'm going to do a bazillion trap exercises. And just have these ridiculously insane shoulders.
What's a trap exercise?
Trapezius muscles.
Leanne
is going to be watching The Dark Knight Rises tonight alone with a bottle of Merlot.
I'd Google that if I could spill it.
But the first time I saw that movie, I was like, man, that was kind of not good. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe it was the
right.
mood. Maybe watch it again. I'm like, no, that was a piece of shit.
Okay.
Up until that point, Christopher Nolan, the director of that movie, there was an internet kind of catchphrase that in Nolan we trust, because at that point he has done no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That was a movie that, well,
aww.
I trust him to a point.
Sorry, Nolan.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
Aww.
Anyway. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It's Huntsville Home Video approved.
Yeah. 3.5, 3 is approved.
All right, good deal. Well, we are just clipping through at a ridiculous pace. We are getting through Marvel Month.
2 weeks, baby.
2 weeks, bitch. So we got one more coming up on Thursday.
Yeah.
We will be talking about the first full-length movie of Spider-Man in the MCU. We've had two iterations of Spider-Man theatrically before. Mm-hmm. Now we get what I feel is the definitive version.
Okay.
We'll see what you think later on this week. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Toby's been my guy for so long.
I think you're about to trade up.
Okay.
I think you're about to trade up.
Let me upgrade you.
Jesus.
Beyonce it, baby.
All right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our chat about Guardians 2. We hope to have you back on Thursday when we chat about Spider-Man. We would also absolutely love it if you give us a like, give us a follow on the social media pages mm-hmm. that we have up and running.
At HSV Home Video.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. You should also give a follow to our sponsor, Underboss Photography. Right before we recorded this, you got yourself a fancy little gift from Underboss.
I got me a flamingo.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited about it.
And it's all printed out on like a metallic sheen.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, that thing looks nice.
It was gorgeous. And I saw it and I was like, I need to get that because it's just a gorgeous photo that he took. And then I got a surprise today. It was super sweet.
Yeah. Michael swung by the studio before we recorded, dropped that off. And that is a print that you could buy for yourself. If you followed Underboss Photography on Facebook, on Instagram, Underboss_photography. Maybe you've seen that picture that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. He's also got a lot of nature photos, some cool pictures of Huntsville and the surrounding area. If you'd like to add some of those prints to the art on your wall, maybe you need to replace that live, laugh, love bullshit with some real art.
Yes, you do. With some real fucking art, not just something that somebody wrote on a piece of parched wood, you fucks.
Yeah. Be like Leanne. Have some cool Underboss Photography hanging in your home.
I got to figure out where to put it. I'm so excited to go home and figure out a frame and like where to put it. That's my favorite thing, is to hang things up and figure out and measure and shit. I love it.
You're a weird
person. I do it a lot. I get a poster and I have to move everything in my home. It's a mess, but I love it.
I am notorious for hanging a poster, trying to get it in the right spot, but then it's a little off.
It's always off. You have to measure that out. I do full on math.
No,
you don't understand.
No, fuck a bunch of that. Here's what I do. I hang the first poster. All right. I'm like, this is where it goes. And then I take a CD jewel case and I'm like, 1, 2, 3. I just measure out like 4 across and it's close enough. And I'm also ridiculously OCD about it. So, like, I'll look at every poster hanging in my home and go, God, that fucking annoys me, but I don't want to fucking do it right.
I think I had a heart attack. Oh, no. It's a process with me.
Like, when you were over at my house a few times, have you not ever noticed that everything is a little off kilter?
I did. I wasn't going to say anything.
Why didn't you fix it?
Well, it's not my home to fix.
I mean, you
first of all,
I would have never been the wiser.
Oh my God.
I would have figured, here's how fucking dumb I am. I would have been I'm like, I thought that was crooked once. Huh. I thought there were a little, maybe the house just settled.
I hate you. Oh no, it's full on math. I have to measure the frame. I'm like, okay, the frame is this width apart. I want the pictures to be this width apart. So, and then I want them to be so many inches away from the edges of the wall. And I have to make a whole mat. It's like, a mess here in my home. And then you have to measure the wall and then you have to count back and you have to eliminate inches. And then you're like, okay, well, then you got to go half the frame because that's where the nail hole's at. And so then you have to go that many inches off the wall plus half the frame. And that's where you put the first nail. And then you can measure them out.
Or you could take a CD jewel case and just measure 4 across.
No, you cannot. What are you making, marks at the edge of the of the jewel case? And you make a mark on your wall and then you move the jewel case?
Yeah. Like, you put the first nail in, you hang up the poster. You're like, okay, good, that's where I like it. And then you take the thing down and you go from the nail with the jewel case and you go over 1, move it over 2, move it over 3, move it over 4.
Yeah, but you can't. Wait, you're not. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Hold on a moment. So you're eyeing it where the end of the jewel case was to move the jewel case back up against that line?
Yeah,
then imagine you're not marking the wall.
You put your finger. And then move it to the other side of your finger and then move the finger over
God.
And then the
Wait
jewel case over and then the finger over.
No, you can't do that.
But I did.
Are you counting your finger? Are you moving it on the opposite side of the finger? Because then you're losing like a half an inch.
No, because it always goes in the same spot on the finger.
I can't. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I have to go.
I have to fucking go.
We have talked about how at the end of this Marvel month, we'll be obviously reviewing Endgame. But this will be the first movie that we watch together at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just watch it over at my place. And before or after the movie, you can just like rehang all my posters.
I'll need something to clear my mind afterwards, probably. So, yeah, I'll just hang your posters.
That will be a great reset for
you. I'm going to come by with my little trusty tool bag that I have that's purple. And I got my tools in there, my measuring tape and my hammers and my stud finders. And we'll hang your posters.
Man, that's going to be a fucking just a capital day.
Dude, I'm all in.
Like
a jewel case? God damn it.
We will be back on Thursday, dear friends. We look forward to chatting with you again. Maybe by that point, Leanne will have calmed down a little bit.
Never.
I'm just going to send you pictures of the posters currently hanging just so you can see the off-kilterness.
You abusive prick.
Hey, it's that or a first aid kit. Until then, my friends, until Thursday when we chat with you again, be kind and rewind. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.